Now, friends, today our study brings us into 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. Now, if you have your Bible handy there, you'll want to turn and follow along with us. We are actually dealing here with a new subject altogether. We have brought on the stage now of human action David, God's man, and we see him in contrast to Saul, Satan's man. And last time we saw the rejection of this man, Saul. God had given him not just one opportunity, but several opportunities to see if he would obey him, and he revealed that he was totally disobedient unto God. God gave him every opportunity. God has given other men, and they have made good, but not Saul. And the Lord didn't need to wait for the result. He already knew, but Saul needed to know. Samuel needed to know because he loved Saul. And the people needed to know because they had chosen him. And today you and I need to know. I think that we're tested and we do need the help of the Spirit of God because we're told that whom the Lord loveth, he testeth them. Actually, he chastens them. That has been God's method. It still is God's method today, that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And not only that, we are told, blessed is the man that endureth testing. For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. That's James 1:12. And so we see that this man Saul was tested, given ample opportunity, and he did not make good at all. Now, again, may I ask the question, why the extreme surgery in slaying the Amalekites and Agag? And I believe that, although I didn't have time to develop that last time, and I'm not taking time today, but I believe that when you get off and get a true perspective, Amalek was a son of Esau. The Amalekites were those that fought the children of Israel and destroyed them when they were trying to get into the land. And God said he'd have war with Amalek from generation to generation, that he would finally judge them. Now they've had probably 500 years to see what they're going to do, and they have definitely turned their back on God. And so he judges them. And somebody says, well, what about Agag? Well, that was the royal family. And we're going to find, if we move ahead 500 years, that was a man by the name of Haman. And if you'll check Esther 3:1, you'll find out he was an Agagite. Had Saul obeyed God, a great multitude of people would have been spared later on. You see, God knows the end from the beginning, and he knows what's best to do in any immediate situation, and you and I are in no position to give him suggestions and advice and sit in judgment of him. After all, he's the one to sit in judgment over us. Now we do come to the place where God chooses David as king to succeed Saul, and he's sending now Samuel to Bethlehem to anoint him as king. This man, David, was God's choice, and God had trouble with him. But doesn't he have trouble with all of us? He had trouble with David, and we'll see that as we advance into this book and the next one. All right, I'm reading 1 Samuel 16:1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul? Believe me, Saul had someone who was on his side, and that was Samuel. Samuel loved him. He hated to see God set him aside. And that's the reason that when he gave to this man the ultimatum that he was dismissed as the king and he'd been rejected, it hurt him to do that, and it makes it all the more impressive. Now we're told that God says to Samuel, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel, fill thine horn with oil, and go. I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he'll kill me. And Saul certainly would have. Saul is not going to stand for anyone opposing him now. He's desperate. Notice, and the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I'm come to sacrifice to the Lord, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And we find here, as we move on into this, that it is God that is the one that makes the choice here. And he's not giving to this man Samuel any advance information this time. And that, of course, will protect him. And we find now, as he moves on here, why he goes down to Bethlehem, and he comes to the house of Jesse. Now, I want to read verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now, all through this section, we're meeting some great spiritual principles. Now, we saw in the last chapter that it had to do with this man Samuel saying to Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You and I demonstrate whether we are a child of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we love him or not. It's not what we say in a testimony. Whether we are obeying him or not, whether we are actually obedient unto him. You see, the Christian life is a life of reality. It's not a life of put-on. It's not a life of pretense. It is a life of reality, and there must be that reality. And now we find here that God, when he looks at us, he looks at us actually from the inside. God is an interior decorator to begin with, and he always checks the interior of all of us. And we find that in this particular case here, God says to Samuel, now when you go down, don't look at his outward appearance. I don't judge by that. Let me pick the man this time. I'll pick the king. God sees the heart. And thank God for that. We are so apt to judge folk, even in Christian circles, by their looks, by their pocketbook, by their status symbols, the Cadillac they drive, or the home they live in, or the position they occupy. God never judges anyone on that basis at all. And so he's telling Samuel, he said, you don't pay any attention to the outward appearance. I'm looking at the heart. And so Jesse had his sons that were there to come and pass before him, because Samuel made clear to Jesse why he'd come. And we're told here that these sons pass by. Well, he made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. That's verse 10. And then in verse 11 here of 1 Samuel 16, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, well, there remaineth yet the youngest. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. And surely even the father of David would never have chosen him above the other 7 older brothers. To begin with, he's a boy. It's believed that he was probably around 16 years old. I think he could have been younger than that. And he was out with the sheep. He didn't really know very much. And even Jesse's father would not have picked him ahead of his brethren to be a king. And he had just entirely ignored him. He was so sure it would have to be one of the 7 sons. Now, when he finds out, that is when Samuel finds out
that there is this little boy by the name of David out with sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? He said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Samuel says, This is important business, and I'm not about to sit down to rest or to eat or for any other purpose. I've come here to anoint the next king of Israel. And now notice verse 12. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy. That means he was red-headed. David was a red-headed boy, and he had that kind of a temper. He had a hot temper. He was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance. And in spite of the fact he's red-headed, he was a fine-looking fella. Now, this doesn't mean that God despises that which is beautiful, because God can use beauty. He's the creator of beauty. And no one that travels over this earth that we live in can refuse to ignore the many beautiful spots. All the states, you know, like to claim they have something that's quite unusual and that they have something more beautiful than the others. Well, I want to say that I've been in most of the states of this country, and all of them have something beautiful. Our God is a God of beauty, and a sunset in any state is sometimes a thing of glory. And God goes in for beauty. I resent today that the world gets everything that is beautiful, everything that's worthwhile. Why not these things be given to God and talent be given to God today? Well, this boy, David, he was a fine-looking fella. Don't misunderstand. I think he was a handsome young man. But God was not looking at that. God knew him. And we're told here he was goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Now, this was God's choice. And God knew this boy. God knew what you and I don't know about him, that though he failed down beneath, that faith that failed was a faith that never failed, that this man did love God. He did trust him. He did want to walk with him. And God took him to the woodshed and beat him in an inch of his life. But let me tell you, he never whimpered or cried aloud. He wanted that fellowship with God. And God loved him. He's a man after God's own heart. Now we're told, and Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now we see the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who's a cunning player on a harp, and it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. Now, this man, I think, was completely taken over by Satan, that is, Saul. And his servants noted that he had this mental malady, that he had this spiritual sickness. And it is said that music, you know, has power to tame the savage breast. And so they have a contest to find out who's the great musician. Now, this boy David was a musician. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I've seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Now, David was an unusual person, you see, in many ways. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. David is brought now into the palace. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now, this is the end of this chapter, and it tells the story of how David is to succeed in Saul's place as king over Israel. And we find here that God's method of choosing men for a particular office and tasks, God looks at the inner man. Saul now is forsaken of God, and David is brought into court to play upon his heart.